You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy to learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
What's going on, everyone? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. On today's episode, we have a very special guest, Lely Hernandez, actress and artist. We're very excited to have you here today. What's up, Lely?
I'm excited to be in Hustle Inspires Hustle. And nothing, I'm excited to share my story and share what motivates me to keep, you know, grinding.
Well, your story goes a long way, because as far as I saw, it started, well, in entertainment, I guess. It started at 3 years old. You had a crazy ass story. Why don't you break that down for us?
Yeah, well, long story short, my mom's diabetic, and nothing, when she was pregnant, I basically saved her life. And, you know, they did the whole, like La Niña Heroína, like the hero. And we had a whole interview, and I took that interview for myself. Like, I was the one that was speaking. I was the one that was telling the story of, like, when my mom fainted and what I did. And I had so much personality that it triggered something for them. And, you know, they had offered me a couple classes, acting, dancing, and nothing. I was in Sábado Gigante, and I would interpret Paulina Rubio. And it was just like, I was always putting a show for my family, every family party. I mean, I kid you not, there's stories. And I mean, everyone knows that I had a specific outfit, a silver, like aluminum, like little two-piece outfit that I'd always put until from the moment I was like 6 years old till I was like 10 years old, that it didn't even fit me anymore. I would always put a show. There was no one could leave my house without me putting a show. And it was always the same show. But I grew up, you know, really in the entertainment, really. I used to have an imaginary friend, and I would like imitate everyone, my mom and like my cousins, and I would act like everybody and talk to myself and talk in the mirror. And that was just something that for me was like, came natural. It wasn't like forced. It wasn't, but then it was weird because then I was shy at the same time. Like I was shy I could perform, but then when it came to like being on the spot, I was shy. I didn't know how to speak to people. I didn't know how to make friends. It was weird. It was like when I was playing a character, I was someone different than who I really was, you know?
I feel you. So you have not just been in entertainment, but if I don't have it wrong, you actually studied this. You studied entertainment business?
Yeah. So when I moved to LA, eventually when I decided I wanted to go to LA, I was like, okay, I don't know anything about the industry. I just know I want to be on camera and that I want to be an actress. But I feel like I've always seen in anything you do, I always seen that people work from the ground up. You know, when my dad was working at a dealership, he first started, my parents had me really young, so they didn't end up going to school. And then being Dominican, you know, they had papers, but it was still technically immigrants, you know, they don't know that much English. So my dad had to first work washing cars and then become a salesperson and then learn and then become a manager. And then today, finally, he owns his own dealership. But I always saw and learned and through my parents and just, you know, experience, I saw that people and whatever they did, they had to work from ground up. It wasn't like you just got here and then boom, you know. So right. For me, like knowing that and coming from a family like that works hard from the ground up, I just felt I need to learn what I want to do. I don't want to just be on camera. I want to know every job role. I want to know what everyone does. I want to really get in. You get me? So I thought if I study communications or if I study acting, you know, I might not, you know, it's not like I was going to Juilliard. If I was going to Juilliard, great. You know, it's a good look. But since I didn't go that route because my grades didn't take me there, you know, then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to study the arts because the arts I've been studying my whole life. I'm going to start the business because to me, at the end of the day, all I hear all the time is this is show business, right? So since this is show business, I already know the show, but I don't know the business. So I'm going to go study that. And it didn't, and honestly, it wasn't like I figured that out right away. I moved to LA and I couldn't go to school right away because it was really expensive. I was out of state. And although my parents earned well, it wasn't like well to like be able to pay for like, you know, like a school in LA and rent and all this stuff. And I had literally unplanned it. Like I literally sold my car and just moved. So at 18. So I was like, I wasn't really prepared for that move. You know, I'm a very spontaneous person. And honestly, like for me, it was like, I just got up and went, you know, and luckily my mom, the first year went with me and, you know, was like, I'm going to support you in this. My mom, I grew up seeing my mom in the industry as well, trying to make it. My mom was a TV host and she, you know, she did everything. She had a prepaid show. So she had to look for own sponsors, you know, the real struggle, you know, and I think in that time it was a little different because the internet wasn't like how it is now. So things were a bit different for her. So she like was like, I'm gonna support you no matter what, because she knows the struggles that she went through. And she was never gonna tell me, don't do this because it's hard. No, on the contrary, she was like, I'm gonna support you because if this is what you love and this is what you want to do, then go ahead, try it, you know? And she felt like for me it was gonna be a little easier because I know English, I grew up here, I have the chance to go to school, I have the ability to ask for help for and financially to, you know. So at the beginning, I didn't go to school. I took like two classes, like, but it was like geography of California and like weird stuff that I'm like, I really don't need this, you know? So in that time, since I stopped going to school, I went and took an internship at a production company. And that's when I got behind the scenes. Now, when I got behind the scenes, you know, I learned so much, but I also saw so many people working for somebody for many years. And for me, like I don't think it's wrong for anyone that has, you know, a regular job. But for me, I'm too inquieta. Like I can't be in one place. I have to be everywhere. My mind goes a million miles per hour and I'm thinking of 1,000 things. And I just can't sit down like still doing one thing. Like I have to be managing, I have to multitask and do 1,000 things at once. So when I saw myself working at a production company, at first it was like I was in the office, but when we started working on shows and we were on set and we were traveling and all this stuff, I got motivated to really learn more about the business. Cause I was like, damn, you know, my boss at the time, he was like 30 years old. And I was like, damn, this guy's young and he's really doing it. And like, you know, and then, you know, he would share his struggles and everything he'd been through and stuff. And I was like, this motivates me to want to do this. You know, like at one point I was like, I want to be a producer. Like I want to produce my own shows. I want to sell shows. I want to like, that's what I wanted to do. And I'm going to put myself in my own movies. You know, like that was the goal. Like that was what I wanted to do. And that's why I started going to school. But when I went to school, I realized that it was great because it was like, I was going to school, but then I was also getting the experience. The stuff that I was getting and learning in school, I was applying it in my job. So it was helping me because I went from being an assistant to then being part of the development team and then like, you know, just being more involved. When I was working there for 2 years, you know, it just eventually I was like, damn, like I'm dedicating so much of my time to this that it's like, when is it going to be my moment? I was already 20 years old. I was like, I feel old, you know, like not old, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just need to go for it. You know, like, what am I waiting for? So I started doing extra work. And then luckily because of my age and my look, I was booking like featured roles on like Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, a lot of roles. I didn't speak anything, but I was featured enough that like people could recognize me, you know? Right. I mean, still people like, I saw you on Liv and Maddie, or I saw you on this show, you know? And like, I saw you in the Thundermans or whatever. Like, I don't even know what shows I was on, but I saw you like in the locker. I saw you next to the main girl, you know? So they always would give me those roles that people could see me. Now, when social media came about, you know, at first I didn't want to be in social media because I was like, they're not going to take me serious as an actress. Like, you know, but in that time, social media influencers weren't really making money or like how they are now. Like YouTubers live in mansions now and, you know, and live good and live off that. But in that time they weren't, you know? So, you know, I didn't know if I really wanted to do that. So eventually some of my friends that were like on it for a long time, they're like, you know what, if you create a character or you actually showcase your acting, it might give you the ability to be exposed to the right people, you know? So that's exactly what happened. I started, you know, showing it like, we did more like scenes of scenarios of funny things. And that's where I was really able to showcase, because my funny comedies weren't me being funny and being stupid. It was more of like me doing relatable situations that were funny because people are like, oh, that has happened to me. Or, you know, it was more of that reaction. But it was so believable that it showcased my acting. So
That was the perfect moment for you to show that side of your talent.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And the good thing is that everything happened at the right timing, because I was working at a production company where I was exposed to a lot of artists, a lot of producers, a lot of actors. And then on the side, I was also meeting more people, and I was in school. So it was like I had all my advantage. And then I was also on set, even though I was just an extra. But although I was an extra, I had roles that had names. You know, I was Martha and you know what I'm saying? So and Carolina and this person. So although it was featured roles that I might not had words, but it was enough for directors to have an eye on me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then on top of the fact that I was auditioning here and there, but I hadn't even auditioned for any agencies. I think I had auditioned for maybe two agencies, and all they said was, we already have someone like you. Mm. And honestly, to me, it was like, fuck, like, I'm sorry, person, but it's like, I'm like, at what point is it going to be my moment? Like, when is someone going to give me an opportunity? And that's when social media, I was like, you know what, fuck it. This is what's going to give me, I'm going to give myself an opportunity. I'm not going to allow Hollywood or anyone to sit down and judge my acting or make me feel like I'm not good enough when I've been studying this my whole life and this is what I like. And this is like my time now, you know, so I'm going to use it to my advantage. And luckily the social media blew up and, you know, one thing led to the other and many auditions came in, many I didn't book, but I think it was my determination that really led me to finally book a few things, you know?
Right. So I saw in an interview you did that I believe your mom helped you find a casting for a show that was taking place, and you actually went to two castings. So you flew, I think it was on two separate days, you did one and then flew to the other. How was that?
Yeah. So my mom has, like I said, has been my biggest supporter, and anything that she can help and her old connections and, you know, and as she goes on in her career as well, you know, she's really been the person that has really like guided me through this all and has really like, you know, looked for opportunities for me, and really we've been a team, you know, me and my mom has literally been a team together. But no, like she just calls me out of nowhere one day and she's like, you know, Eva Porras, which is, she used to manage like Gaby Espino and like a lot of important Spanish like actresses and actors, and I had called her for my mom to audition actually, because it was to play Nikki Jack's mom. And my mom's like, I don't act, but my daughter, she's already grown and whatever, and she has a following, I think you should check her out. And she's like, of course, like send her to me. But then that was in LA. I was in LA because I was living in LA, and I had an audition that day. And then she's like, well, there's another one tomorrow but in Miami.
Fuck.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, in Miami? I literally flew that night. I had no idea what the role was. I hadn't read the part, nothing. On the plane, those 6 hours or 5 hours, whatever, I read the whole script. I learned the whole thing. I memorized it. I got in there. And when I go to the audition and I'm looking at all these women that look more like my mom than me, I'm like, this is not for me. And it was my first audition in Spanish. I had never auditioned in Spanish because like I speak Spanish naturally because of my mom, but I don't, and because my parents, whatever, but I didn't grow up like reading Spanish or writing Spanish. You know, it was like, I just know it because of my parents.
Much less performing, right? Much less performing. When I get interviewed in Spanish, oof, that shit's nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah, but the thing was that I grew up like only speaking Spanish at home. So the only Spanish I know is Dominican Spanish, which is why when I write certain things, like a lot of people like try to correct me. Like, it's not how it's spelled. But I'm like, I didn't even learn how to speak like mucho se yo. O sea, I know a lot for like what I, you know, how I grew up. Because I grew up here, you know, but so like, Grammarly, I learned in English, and even in English, I don't even know if I said that right. Even in English, sometimes I don't say things right because I literally know just as much as both.
You have a mix of both cultures, yeah.
Exactly. So, and I grew up like an ESL student, so I wasn't even like the smartest kid. The only subject I was really good at was math, which is why maybe I'll go far in life because I just need to worry about my numbers.
You gotta get them numbers right.
Exactly. So numbers, nobody can play with me with numbers because I'm good with that. But then everything else, I suck. So bottom line is that when this opportunity comes up, I'm like, I'm confident. I was like, I'm not gonna get this because this is not for me. So when I go on audition, I guess that like thing of like, I'm not gonna get this because I just don't fit the role because I'm too young. I ended up doing it super good. I didn't get nervous. And then 2 weeks later, I get a message from Jesse, and he's like, we're considering you for the sister role. I was completely confused because I didn't even know this was his project. And I had met Jesse before in like events, and I had auditioned for other projects of his. So I thought he was telling me of like another project I had auditioned for. But right. No, it turns out it was this one. So nothing, that's basically how that happened. And when they kind of like checked with like Nikki and like the whole team, it was like I was the role, you know, that they went with.
Now hold on. Let's give everybody some context, because they probably have no idea who we're talking about, Jesse, Nikki. Let me give you guys a breakdown. Jesse Terrero is, man, he's so influential in entertainment and content creation. He's worked on Soul Plane. He's worked with Tupac. He's worked with, he's met Biggie back in the day. 50 Cent, Maluma.
Bad Bunny, Jennifer Lopez.
This guy's insane. I've always looked up to his work. I've been following him for a few years, and now he's managing Lely, and he actually put together the Nicki Jam El Ganador series on Netflix, and that's the project that Lely's talking about right now. Just so you guys have some context, we'll let Lely take it from there.
And it's on Netflix. You guys can watch it.
By the way. How was that experience? I know that's crazy. That's life-changing.
You know, I'm amazing. Amazing because, first of all, it came so natural to me because really it was like, see, there's roles where you have to really learn about the person and the role and the character and really get into it. But this was easy for me because I identified with it because I was playing a sister, you know, a sister that supports her brother and, you know, younger. So for me, I don't know what it feels like to be a younger sibling because I'm actually the older one. But since I was a fan of Nicki Jam already, yeah. I didn't know his story, realistically. I didn't know his story until I was booked on the show. But All I needed to know was that I was a supportive sister and he went through a lot. And that's all I needed to know. And right. I just acted like how I would have acted with a brother. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that made it so easy for me because the way her personality was just me, a younger version of me. So I didn't really have to like really prepare. You know, people are like, how did you prepare for the role? I was like, I did it. I was like, I'm gonna be honest, I did it. You know, there's other roles where like I was like, how does like a detective stand, or how does like a person, you know, but for this role, it was like, it was really a piece of me.
Yeah, natural. And I
think, it's natural. And I think when you do a role like that, it just flows. You don't have to really force it. I had to work a little bit at the accent because I was playing a Puerto Rican, you know, girl. So I think I had to work a little bit that, but even then, I didn't find out that until the first day that we actually filmed, you know, so, you know, that was that. And no, the experience was amazing. The results were amazing. Everyone, I've gotten so much feedback. I mean, the show came out 2 years ago, I think now, or a year and a half ago.
It didn't. Yeah, I remember like 2 years ago, I was in Paris with my team, and like it was like the premiere, and we binge watched that shit like in a day and a half in our Airbnb. But then when we got back to the States, nobody knew what we were talking about. It wasn't here yet. And I was anxiously, or Puerto Rico. I was anxiously waiting for it because I was blown away by that series. I didn't even know Nikki's story. I had met Nikki in New York randomly one day and fell within that circle, but had no idea that shit had happened to him. And I was blown away that somebody could overcome so much shit and have such a great attitude and wanting to help people and being so genuine. Like, you see so many broken people out there, like hurting other people and shit, and it's good to see people that have been through difficult stuff want to help others and want to use their story as an inspiration.
I mean, realistically, it taught me a lesson and it motivated me tremendously to keep going and anything, and not let any obstacles like and or anything to destroy the path that I'm going towards. Because realistically, with a story like that, it just makes you think like, wow, he had every let down, every breakthrough to like quit, and he still broke through, you know. And that's right. And that comes to show how I believe in God and how big God is, and how much, you know, when you want something and you work towards it, it doesn't matter how many things or people or whatever come in between. Like, lo que está para ti, está para ti, nadie te lo quita. Like, what's
for you? My mom tells me all the time.
Exactly, it's true. And you know, and with Jesse, like, I was so grateful that he gave me the opportunity. And honestly, what's crazy is that was what marked and led to our management agreement. Because, you know, I was shocked, realistically, between us, that he came out of nowhere and told me that he wanted to sign me. Why? Because Jesse doesn't manage anybody. He doesn't have an agency or a management company. And I know he has a lot on his plate. He has a lot of things that he does, you know, a lot of projects that he works on and that he's still pursuing. And that, you know, that I would have never thought that me, you know, that I had just booked a show and I had nothing else going on. Like, after that, I booked a movie and I had booked little roles here and there, BET roles and whatever. But wasn't enough for him to like manage. You get what I'm saying? Like, at least I didn't think so. And I did have a lot of brand deals and stuff coming in naturally on my own, but I wasn't like the main character in Nicki Jam. You get what I'm saying? I wasn't someone that like, or I wasn't like, oh wow, this girl was the most amazing actress ever that I need to sign her. Like, I truly didn't believe that. And I'm being realistic. I'm not that I'm being humble. I'm just being realistic of because of the role, you know, that I had compared to other people on the show. But I remember when it was time to like close like the deal for the show and the financial part of it, he literally tells me, can you put me in contact with your team? Like, so we can lock that in. And I was like, I don't have a team. I don't have a management. I don't have managers. And he's like, what? Mind you, he had followed me for like he had been following my journey for like 2 years or prior to that time, or a year maybe. And I mean, I had been working with Universal Studios. I was working with McDonald's. I was working with a lot of big brands, you know, and with Burger. Well, actually, no, at that time I was working with Burger King. Like, I was working with a lot of brands and doing my own things. And I think for him, it was like, wait, so you've been doing all of this, auditions and all, booked the show, and you still don't have a manager or an agent, nothing like.
And you lived alone, right? You were living alone, handling all this shit on your own.
I was doing everything myself. Yeah. When I tell you that I took the experience out of an assistant, of writing all those emails and answering all those calls, I was like, if I did that for somebody else, why am I not going to do that for me? Fuck so yeah. That experience that I took from being an assistant and writing all those professional emails to NBC, to Viacom and all these big networks, I took it for myself. I learned, you know, I took that experience for myself. It was 2 years, you know? So I took all the experience. And when I was getting popular on Instagram, I was the one that was writing all the emails to all these brands, to all these agencies. And I was like, my client, Lely Hernandez, has this and this and that, has this platform. This is her engagement. These are the people that she reaches. This is the people that follow her. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, she has because in that time it was like 500,000. She has, not that it wasn't like, oh, she only has 500,000 followers. No, she has 500,000 followers, but there's a lot of people that follow her that are very big influences, you correct. Know? So it was a lot of that too. It's very, my following was very international. I had people, like, I still have people, a lot of people like in Morocco, Dubai, like, I don't know, you know, that I didn't even India, like that I would never imagine that people know me, you know, over there. So Latin America, American, like, it's just a lot. So I took all that and I was like, this is time for me to make money off this, you know, all this thing, because like, I already have a lot of eyes on me. Why not? And I became smart with that kind of stuff and was really managing my stuff. And obviously when I booked the show and things started leveling up, because now I wasn't just an influencer. Now it's an influencer and an actress, you know? And, right. And it was just like that status gave me more leverage to reach more, you know, more. So when he saw all of that, he literally sat me down with like 8 people in a huge like office, kind of like movie style. And right. I was like, holy shit, this is getting real now. And then, you know, he's like, we don't want to take away from anything that you're doing. We just want to add, you know, right. We just want to help to what you're doing. And to me, that was the best thing he could have ever said. And that's exactly how it's been, because, you know, it's only been pluses since then, you know. And the moment he signed me, a month later, I literally tell him, I was like, look, I know you signed me as an influencer / actress, but guess what? It's been a year since I've been doing music. I haven't told anybody. And this is going to be part of what I'm doing too, because I want to pursue this for real, because I've been doing this for a year now and I want to keep going. And this was 2 years ago. So now it's been 3 years of me working on music that has been in the shadows for the most part. And now I'm ready to like bring it to light.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
I want to bring up a few points before we touch on the music, because this is very critical for artists. Like, artists nowadays, you know, they get carried away by the fame and the fortune and the attention, all these things, and collaborating and working with anybody and just signing a deal. And, you know, you've been through the entertainment world in both music and in production. You studied entertainment business. You've been around, you've had internships. So as a performer, as an artist, you, well, I believe from what I've seen, have seen a lot and are prepared from a business perspective to do the right thing. And I'm guessing Jesse and his team noticed that too. You're not just, you know, some girl that's trying to make it. You're a smart girl. You're a businesswoman. You're talented. So they know that if they give you the time of day and they're able to bring things to the table for you, you're going to make the best out of it. And you're going to look at it correctly and with detail. And not everybody has that. Even very talented artists these days, you know, that could sing amazing, they're great rappers, great freestylers, great producers, but they have no fucking idea what to do with the business, and that's how they get screwed, and that's how their career ultimately doesn't end up having longevity.
Yeah, no, and then the thing is that in anything that I was doing, which is why when I moved there, yeah, I knew I wanted to be an actress and I knew that I was going to pursue that, but I was like I said, I'm good with numbers, and all I said was, no one's going to fuck me over. I'm going to learn my shit right, and I'm going to do this right, which is why I wanted to learn before becoming an actress. I wanted to know every role that everybody has here. And because then it is also important. Not only does it also make you value everyone that works with you more, but it also like helps you understand how things work. And that's why when I got into social media, then I basically started learning about social marketing. You know, at the end of the day, I have a platform now. I have a voice. I have viewers. So now it's like, how do I monetize from this? How do I make money from this? You know, because I remember my mom, one of the first things my mom told me when I was doing the sketches, actually not my mom, sorry, my dad, because my dad's more business minded. And he's like, okay, you have 1 million followers, but do you have $1 million in your bank account? Or something? It's like, he saw it more on the business point. Like, what is that going to bring you? You know, he didn't see it as like, oh, this is like one thing is going to call one thing. No, he didn't see it that way. So he was the one that kind of like, he's like, well, you need to understand that you have like people looking at you, whatever. And then when brands really started, I started really seeing people work with brands. I was like, wait, hold on. So there's actual business from this. So that's when I started getting more involved, and nothing I feel like, and anything that I've done, I'm going for what I want. Yes. But I'm also thinking my business, my day-to-day, because at the end of the day, this is what I'm going to live off. So I have to understand how this works, you know, right. And I'm going to continue to learn as I go and grow. And I'm not going to say I'm not going to make mistakes along the way, because I'm sure we will. But at least I feel confident enough that I've been a little one step ahead every time, because I've really done I've gone all in business wise and talent wise. I've learned what I'm doing, you know.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And if you have talent and you work hard, then you got the perfect combo. Speaking of talent, I want to talk about Piensas. That shit was dope. I like that a lot. Talk to me about Bravas and how that came together and how that's helping you develop your musical career.
Well, like I said, I had been doing music like a year before I signed with Jesse. And then after that, I kept going. And at the beginning, obviously, it was a learning experience. I mostly got into the music because I feel like, and I say this all the time, and I'm not gonna get tired of saying it, but just like how great things happen, like great things come, bad things come with it, you know. And I think that in the emotional side and the personal side, it was a lot of pressure. Like you said, it's a lot of handle, a little bit of fame here and there, and just a lot of great news, you know, caused a lot of insecurities, a lot of people to get close to me for the wrong reasons. And nothing, me being so sensitive and weak when it comes to that, you know, obviously those things make us stronger. So luckily I think that just has helped me. But in the moments, I was a very, very weak person when it came to that. And I think that I got it. I tapped into something that I didn't know I had, which was my writing. I started writing a lot, expressing myself. I was so bad at telling people what really bothered me or what really hurt me. And I started writing about it, because since I can't express it to the people that hurt me or made me feel type of way, I started writing, and I started doing poems and monologues, and people started really responding to it. And I was like, damn, like, this is dope, you know. And I didn't know that I had that strong of a voice, because I usually was getting a reaction from my comedy when I was making people laugh. But then when my words were touching people, then I was like, wait, I feel like I'm a motivational speaker now. Like, I feel like people really listen to what I have to say. I feel like people really are driven by what I'm hurting or what I'm going through. You know, I feel like people are connecting with me. So at that point, I was like, what do I do so I can connect with people more and I can really share what I'm feeling? So I happened to I had already known this guy. He was a producer, TB. Oh, he's still a producer, but his name is T. Coles or D. Carlo. I don't know how he goes by now, but he was a really close friend of Romeo Miller. mm-hmm. which was a friend of mine through the movie that we did together. And I mean, we had been friends for years before that, but when I had known him for a long time, but one day we're in the car, we're all driving, whatever. And I'm like, I'm always designated driver because I don't really drink. So I was driving and he puts like this song that he had produced and it was very Latin flavor. He said, "What do you think about this?" I was like, "Damn, it's dope, but you just need like a Spanish singer because it's in English, but it's with like a Latin beat, whatever." And he's like, "You never thought of doing music?" And I was like, "I don't know. Like, I don't think I have the voice for it. Like, I don't know. I honestly, I've never tried it, but I've always wanted to do it." I was like, "I've just always been scared. You know, like I sing at home. Like I have, you know, I sing all the time. I sing, but I can't sing in front of people. I'm scared. Like, I feel like my cousins when I was little would always tell me like, yeah, stick to acting. You can't sing, you know? And like, I really believe that, you know? And like, whatever. So I really believe that. So like, whatever. And, you know, and then I went to the studio one time. He's like, "Look, just come to the studio. I just need you to do a reference for another girl, like only so I can have it so that I can sell the song." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So I went in there and he's like, "Just say something." I got so nervous. I was like, "I don't know how to do this." Like, I was so nervous. I had never heard myself. And literally, he's like, "Just think about like whatever and start." I swear to God, he left me by myself because I couldn't even record something with him there because I was like so nervous. And I left me myself and I just started going off. I like, from the top of my head. And oh my God, like my da como goosebumps. Like, honestly, I started saying everything I was feeling. I wrote a song, "Don't Use Me," but in Spanish. And it was literally what I was like feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
And I just went, I did a whole song in one day. I'd never done that in my life. And I actually sounded like, I even asked, I was like, "Did you use auto-tune?" He's like, "No, that was you. Like, I didn't want to use auto-tune with you because you've never recorded. So I don't want you to think you sound something that you're not because you've never heard yourself before."
Right.
So I was like, "Really?" I was like, "What?" Anyways, I started getting more in the studio, started getting more. My words were coming just flowing. Like, it was just, I wrote a song called "Fake Friends." I wrote, like, it was like so many things. And it was just like, I was going in every single week that I had time. I would go in and I would write, I would do it, whatever. Eventually, I got booked to go to Latin Billboards like a couple months later. I mean, I'm sorry, a year later, but I had already been recording a year of stuff, right? Mm. But nothing that I wanted to show to anybody. I wasn't ready for that. And then I go to Latin Billboards, and this was after the Nicki Jam show had already, like, we had already shot it. And it had just came out, but, like, everywhere else, but in the U.S., obviously. And I bumped into Gio, which is Nicki Jam's producer. And I bumped into him, and I was actually working at McDonald's, so I had, like, all cameras on me. I was doing a lot, whatever. And he's like, "Let's try to get in the studio one of these days." And I was like, "Sure." I was like, "Cool." But then I thought, how does he know I'm doing music? I was like, I haven't told anybody. I don't know if he assumed everyone on the show was artists. No one was an actor. Like, there was very few actors on the show, but for the most part, most of them were artists. Like Dalkiel, the main person, he had never acted in his life. So most of the actors had more of a music history than acting. So I think that's what just made him think that I was an artist. So, and then I had a big following too. So I think maybe he just assumed. Bottom line is that we got in the studio, and I tell you, I had never flowed as much as I flowed with him. I had recorded a couple times with many other producers, but I never had found my voice. I had never had found myself. When I tell you we got in the studio, I was like, "Oh, I feel comfortable. Like, this is, like, I feel comfortable." And we did Piensas. That was the first song that we actually did together. Like, actually, no, I lied. We did one song together, but then we didn't finish it. And then we did Piensas. And that was the song that we were like, "Oh, we need to release this." You know, whatever. I kept working after that. And when I showed Jesse, and Jesse gave me the opportunity, he's like, "Look, I have this show coming up. It's about music. It's about these girls, whatever." I had auditioned for it, but I didn't end up getting the role because they wanted an authentic Puerto Rican cast. So I booked a smaller role, but they chose my song to be part of the soundtrack. So at that point, I was like, "Wow, great. Like, now my first song is going to come out in a show," which is great because it sets me up as like, I'm an actress, but I'm also releasing music. And it had a backup of a label, which was Warner Brothers.
Warner,
so I thought it was the perfect scenario, you know, for that project. And
the positioning for that was great. That was great. It was great all around. I saw, first of all, choreography wise, good job. That was
really, we learned cool. It a day before.
No, for real?
Yeah.
It was a nice touch. I really liked it. And besides that, you know, the song was great. The visuals are great. The color correction was fantastic. It was just like mind blowing.
It was a lot that went wrong. It was my first music video. My stylist, they changed the dates a couple times. So a lot of my clothes didn't get there. I didn't have my makeup artist. I had to just improvise and get a new person that I didn't know, that I'd never worked with. So that made it a little, you know, tough. At the end of the day, great. I mean, I'm just glad that everything worked out. She was amazing. But it was a bit of a challenge because I
because you wanted everything to be perfect, and then it's like, it's your moment, and yeah, shit starts happening.
It was my first video, imagine, and then this was like me coming out as an artist. I was like, this is a lot of pressure, and then, you know, we wanted to do the more like jungle, Bathing Suit vibe. I had to fucking be like in shape, and like, I was like, this is a lot, and I barely ate for like weeks because I was thinking about it, and, you know, I was going through my own personal issues in the time, and like, I was just going through it, and but everything came out great, and you know, it was a good way to come out because I came out a little light, I would say, compared to how I'm gonna come out now. It's just all that's all I'm gonna say. Like,
I like that.
I you like know, that. It's, it was like a good introduction.
Absolutely, I mean, it's a great introduction. You first of all, a show that's, if I'm not mistaken, executive produced by Nati Natasha and Rafi Pina.
Yes,
already major win. Jesse Terrero working on your video, super win. Location, another win. Voice and choreography, another win. And then Warner putting it up, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
those are good moves. Those are good moves. It's everything is strategically placed really well. I saw it. I thought it was super cool. I actually started watching a few of your interviews to get to know you a little bit better. And I went down the rabbit hole and saw all the stuff, saw the influencer stuff. I seen that you're just active and you don't stop, which is really good.
No,
consistency, no. Being persistent in this industry is ultimately what leads to success. Eventually, you're going to know all the people. Eventually, you're going to have all the connections, and it's going to be your job to connect the dots correctly. And I mean, you're doing it. So it's really cool to have you on here and being able to hear your story and share your story with us.
Yeah, no. And honestly, for me, it's like what I've never wanted to do, and this is why I've remained a little quiet lately, is that I don't want to confuse people. Because like you said, since I'm extremely active, I don't want people to think, oh, she's an influencer trying to do music now, or she's an influencer trying because now she's acting. No, to me, it goes deeper than that, because it's something that I wanted to do my entire life. Like I said, I don't think I ever, when I was little, I wasn't even acting. I was actually performing. Like, I was doing dance, like a whole performance, singing Paulina Rubio songs and performing songs and shows for my family. I wasn't even acting. You get what I'm saying? Like, that was something that I always wanted to pursue, but I was scared. And that's where fear meets, like, I don't know what's the quote yet, but it's like, I had fear. And when I broke through that fear is when now I feel that my calling is coming. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like what was setting me back in what my probably true calling is or not, because I don't know, you know, what my true calling might be. But I just feel that, you know, sometimes we go for something and you're like, damn, I thought this was like, you know, what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And then you end up doing this and you're like, oh my God, I didn't even ever imagine this. So I think for me, it was like, acting has always been something I was super confident about because it's something that I had studied. It's something that I was naturally good at. Like, I didn't really have to work at it so much. And like, I really felt like, I don't care what anybody says. Anybody could tell me right now, you're the worst actor. And I was like, I don't care what you think, because I know, you know what I'm saying? I know who I am, and I know what my talent is. Maybe go. I just didn't fit that role specifically, but I know my talent, you know. But in the music, I have built the confidence, but I didn't have that confidence because I don't have the voice of Rosalía. You get what I'm saying? I don't have that voice or la voz de Mark Anthony. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I have a story to tell, and I have experience, and I have emotions I want to share. Right. And that's what I want to transmit through my music, you know, and that's what I want to do. And recently, in the past year specifically, not only have I found myself as an artist, but I have found my voice. That's why I said, I'm glad that after Piensas, I had a little bit of a break, not things that I even planned because I did it, but just because of life, I had a little break, but not a break from my music. I haven't stopped recording, but a break to the audience where like I haven't gave them anything crazy for them to expect. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've kind of been a little in the shadows after Piensas. And I've just posted here and there to be relevant and still stay connected with my audience and my followers. But in reality, the thing is that, like I said earlier, I have a message that I want to share. I have a story. I have a passion that I want to be able to, you get what I'm saying? To be able to share, you know?
Yeah. You want to articulate that in many ways.
Exactly. And I know it's going to take time for people to get to know me as a person, as an artist, as a actress, as an influencer, because at the end of the day, we all, every entertainer becomes an influencer at the end of the day, you know, we're influencing something, you know? So at the end of the day, like for me, I just want people to like get to really know me, because I feel like on social media, people only know whatever we post, right? If I post 30 seconds of me talking about whatever, you can get any type of perception of me from what I said in 30 seconds. But do you really know me? Do you really know where your my essence, heart is, where my head's at, what my dedication is, what how I live my life day to day, the way I think day to day, the things I go through day to day? You know, nobody really knows people like how they, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like through your art, through your work, through your message is where people kind of feel like they get to know you more, which is why we connect to like Bad Bunny, why we connect to Beyonce, we connect to Drake, or you get what I'm saying, to the artists we like, because they put out so much music where they express themselves that you relate to them eventually.
Yeah, for Drake, for me, like I don't feel like I could relate to many hip hop artists, even though I listen to hip hop all the time. But with Drake, it's something where he talks about his mother and his father and the things between them and the things that he felt like he had to go through coming up. Is like when you actually get to see how the person you look up to is thinking, it goes beyond the music, beyond the show, beyond anything at that point, because they know you, and whatever will come out from you, they're gonna support always, and it becomes a different. It becomes a different synergy at that point.
Yeah, which is why for me, when I got into music, I was like, I know there's a lot of people doing music. I know music is very open. It has a lot of, you know, and especially now in these days, you know, there's a lot of people doing music, which is great. I think it's amazing, you know, for people to like express that and showcase it. But for me, it was more of like, God put me through so many things and has led me to so many things so I can share my story. And so I can motivate other people, so I can be a voice for women, because really the music that I'm making and that I'm speaking about and the topics I'm talking about, it's for women. My music goes directly. That's who I'm triggering. I want women to identify themselves when they listen to my songs. I want them to dedicate my songs. You know what I'm saying? Because that's who I'm speaking to. So because I know I have way too many friends that go through similar things. But most importantly, I have been through them all. So, and I'm going through them all. So for me, it's like, I've become a strong woman, and I'm a feminist. I'm all about women. And look, we're talking about this in Women's Month. You know, this is our month. And I'm a true believer that women are like the people, like we rule this fucking world. Like we are we control this thing. I know you're a guy.
We can't enter this world without you guys. It's okay.
It's hard for men to admit it, but without women, I don't know what this world would be.
I wouldn't even want to think about a world like that.
Yeah. So realistically, I feel like there's still space for that, you know, and that's why I wanna fill up that gap. And there's still room for more women to do it. But I'm just saying, I feel like there's a lot of women that do it and are, you know, Beyonce's, J-Lo's. But in this generation, I feel like we need more women in our generation to speak up for us. Because at the end of the day, women that are older, that already been there, done that, J-Lo, Beyonce, it's a little hard because you don't know the struggles that I'm going through now in our time, in our generation. You get what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, I want to speak up on that because I know what it's like. I'm living it myself right now. So Beyonce or no one can come and tell me how to deal with it, because it's different for them. You got me? Yeah. So I think in this generation and this genre and everything, I feel like there's still a lot of space for to things to be said. Why do you think Ariana Grande is where she's at? You know, because she speaks for the girls now. You got what I'm saying? The girls that are like living through things, and she says things that are very relatable to what we're living day to day right now, you know? So that's the kind of voice that I want to be, that I want to portray. That's really what I want for the music, which is why I've remained quiet, because I want my music to speak for itself. I want my words to speak for itself, and I want girls or people to relate to it without me having to force it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Just authentic. It's you. And then they understand that, they feel that, and they just become part of that.
Exactly. I want them to become part of the pain that I went through, or I want them to become part of the stuff I went as I go through, or you get what I'm saying? Because I think that's a beautiful thing. I don't think that God puts us in situations that we can't handle. And I feel that if there's a reason why God puts us in things in life, so we can learn from, and so we can teach others. And so we can, you know, be there for others in some way. So for me, God has gave me the ability to be a voice already as it is, and it's only going to get, I guess, bigger from now. So.
And if people want to hear more on your message and your voice, what is the best social media platform to follow you on where you're most active and connected with your fans?
Usually I'm mostly active on Instagram. I think that's the platform that has opened most of the doors for me. It's also the platform where I express the most. I'm more comfortable using. It doesn't become like it hard for me. It's just like an everyday thing for me. But I use TikTok. TikTok for me is more like the fun me. You know, I'm dancing. Sometimes I'll throw in like, you know, some like quotes, which usually are the ones that like really go like viral for me, which is when I start talking about relationships. When I talk about relationships on TikTok, it's over, you know? But those are the two platforms that I usually have been using right now. Eventually, I want to use more YouTube. I have a couple ideas that I want to do for YouTube so people can get to know another side of me. I don't want to saturate my platforms with the same content. I want people to get... I'm a Gemini, so I have multiple personalities, I'm sure. So I want people to really get to know those multiple sides of me. I want people to see the fun me, the intellectual, the deep me, the real me, and then the fun me, you know, the happy me, the adventurous me, because there's a lot of sides to me that I think make me who I am. And I don't mind sharing that with my followers, you know, and my fans. And I think now, like, I've never been like a mysterious person. I think I'm the only mysterious person part of my life is like my personal life, you know? Yeah. But other than that, I'm very open to like being myself. Like I've never tried to be anyone that I'm not. I've always been very authentic and true to myself, which is why like in the 5 years that I've been on social media, like hardcore, people have been following me since 2016, you know, like it hasn't been like they followed me and then bye. No, it's been like literally a journey with me. It hasn't been like, I only followed you.
Yeah,
I wasn't like, oh, I only followed you for the booty pics. Oh, you stopped taking booty pics or I'm out. Oh, you stopped putting comedy skits? Well, I'm out. Oh, you stopped putting pictures? Well, I'm out. No, it's like they wanted to be part. Yeah. They've been through it. And a lot of people literally write to me all the time, like, especially when I'm live, like, you know, I've been through your journey since 2015. So it's like, whatever. Like, I've, you know, guys will be like, I've had a crush on you since the longest time. And like, I love your hard work and you motivate me to do this. And, you know, to me, the biggest deal, like the biggest feeling for me, the best feeling is when kids come up to me and they're like, I want to be like you one day when I grow up. And to me, that's like, wow, like this is why I do this. Like I've always been a big sister, right? So to me, it's like I've always had to be the person that my brother like had to look up to, or and I'm also the oldest of my grandma too. Like all my little cousins look up to me. So since I had that pressure of being like example, I already knew, you know, and for me, like now I want to do that for kids. Like I think the kids are the future. That's how I feel. And I really want to be like that person, just like how I look up to Jennifer Lopez. Like I want to be that, you know, I want people to look up to me. I want to be an example, which is why I'm not on OnlyFans, which is why I really think twice about what I do, because I don't ever want to let anyone down, you know, especially not my fans, because at the end of the day, I feel like I have a responsibility and I've taken that responsibility upon myself, you know, so, and I want to continue to do that as I go through my journey.
Lely, this has been amazing. Like, I love this. I'm not going to lie to you. This has probably been one of our longest podcast episodes because you've just had so much information to share and the energy is fantastic. I would love to have you back one day to continue to talk about your story and help spread your message. In the meantime,
hopefully at that moment, we'd be at another level too.
In the meantime, guys, you could find her on all social channels. If you want to find her social channels, just go on the show notes of your favorite streaming app, wherever you're listening to this. Click on her social media, click on all her projects, learn more about her. Go on the website, hustleinspireshustle.com/podcast. There's 95 countries tuning in right now, more than 100,000 listeners. So we're very excited to grow with you and for you guys to continue to grow with us. This is Alex Quinn, Lely Hernandez, Hustle Inspires Hustle Podcast. See you guys soon.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.